Life is about getting to your goals and objectives, but that cannot be all. That's not living life to the full. To lead a fulfilling and enriching life, you must follow that passion and pursue that hobby. So if you want to dance, do it. If you want to play the guitar, learn it. And if you want to be a fitness freak, go for it. Make the most of the time and opportunity that you've been given. This is what our guest this week, Meenal Maheshwari, believes. Meenal, apart from being a leading lawyer, is a marathoner and a yoga practitioner, passionate about artificial intelligence, women empowerment, and climate change issues. She also loves traveling and spending time with her 7-year-old. Let's talk to Meenal and understand how she manages to fit all her passions into her busy schedule.
So hi, Meenal, and welcome to this series of conversations where, as I told you, we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us about their successes, challenges, highs and lows, so that other women, you know, who are just maybe just waiting on the sidelines and just need that push, that nudge to get out there, they get inspired and, you know, start their journeys and realize their potential. And of course, eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support, empower and motivate each other. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sangeeta, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you. It's always wonderful to chat with, you know, women trailblazers, because you learn so much from all of them. All right. So without any further delay, so just an icebreaker, tell us a little bit about yourself, your early life, your childhood.
Okay. Most of my time as a child was spent in Kanpur. And it's a city right next to Lucknow. It's in Uttar Pradesh. I went to a convent school and saw a lot of stress being placed on, of course, hard skills. At that time, there was no concept of developing soft skills, which later in life you will find to be the more important part. But at that time, there was not that kind of understanding. So a lot of hard skills were being focused on. I am from a very middle-class family, so saw the struggles of a middle-class family. So my parents, of course, wanted me to sort of get out of that. And the only ways they saw out was for me to be very academically bent. Hmm. And hence, I was 100%, 200% dedicated to academics, to, you know, with the help of the push that my parents kind of gave me in that direction. However, there are a few things that now, when I look back on my life, I do think about a few things that I thought that life was about focusing on one part, because of course that's the only thing I knew back then. Mm-hmm. So I used to do Kathak, and I used to play harmonium, etc., when I was in class 1 and 2. But I think in class 2, Dad said that now it's time to just study. And gave up those things. And, you know, it was all about being at the top of the class all the time, etc. But when you look back, you just feel, oh, I could have done that and this. I mean, why was it that I only did this, as if that was taking away from this part of my life? So these are lessons you learn over a period of time.
And I guess, parents at that time were wired towards focusing on academics, because somewhere I think they just felt that everything else was kind of a waste of time, and it was more important to, you know, excel in your academics. Yeah. So I guess we pretty much, you know, grew up in a similar kind of an environment. So what about your parents? You have siblings. So, I mean, anything.
Yeah.
You
want my parents are government servants. One from LIC, another one from Reserve Bank of India. They are those people who never change their jobs in their life, opposed to people like us who you'll see a lot of shifts in their careers and
move
companies. They're the people who stuck with the same company for a really long time. There are also people who are sort of, my mom wouldn't take a few promotions so that we don't have to change cities, because every time there's a promotion, you'll have to move. Those are things that I saw them doing, and those are things that I feel would be very difficult for me to do at this, how I am wired. I mean, giving up, moving up in my career for thinking that that will hamper the kid. I think that that's one way to think about it. Another way to think about it could also have been that, oh, new environment, new friends.
Yeah,
it might just be critical, right? So I think a lot of things you sort of understand. You can only understand that another way of looking at the same situation exists only if you sort of go and explore and understand there are hundreds of perspectives in this world.
Yes.
And everything kind of fits at the end. So it doesn't matter. You don't need to sort of, but so, and my brother, well, he is, he's as one of the most brainy humans you'll ever meet. He is basically another person who only studied throughout his life, just like me, and much more maybe. So he is, you know, he used to be a coder. He worked in Singapore for a long time. Then he went to IIM Bangalore. Thereafter, he decided recently that he wants to do something on his own. So what he's doing is he's helping kids get through multiple universities. So he set up a small practice around that. Okay. And yeah, I mean, so it's a lot of fun, because if you talk to him, you'll realize, I mean, nowadays, the newer generation, you'll find their motivation absolutely is not, it's very different from mine, which is like a career growth sort of part. They're more like, I want to do this because it's fun.
Yeah. There is a change in the mindset.
So, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. The same facts and in different circumstance.
You
understand that this is also a way to look at life.
Yes,
but for that, you have to talk to a variety of people, meet a variety of people, explore different situations and environments. And then you realize, oh, okay, that's also a way. And that's fine too.
Yeah, true. So tell me, growing up, of course, in a household where academics was so important, I guess having a career, and your mother was also working, so I guess having a career was always a given, right?
Very important. Yeah.
How did you kind of choose what you chose to do? In the sense, how did you choose to become a lawyer?
I, as I always say, I'm an accidental lawyer. I am an IIT JEE mains fail. How I felt back then was like, I couldn't even do this. Couldn't even get to like J in the first attempt. I was in 12th standard. Right? And I had failed, I think, by a few marks in physics mains or something. Like one mark or something. I thought that the world has ended and this is it. Like, I couldn't make it. And who knew that was like the best thing that could happen, right?
Yes.
And that I would be a lawyer. And so I happened to be a lawyer by accident, which is I wanted to go to a college where there wouldn't be any studies. And I didn't want to be home while preparing for the next JEE entrance exam the following year. So I chose, my dad and everyone else would say that, you don't have to study anything in law, because we didn't know much about law. We used to think, you know, backbenchers did law back in Kanpur, right? So the people who couldn't do anything would do law. So you're like, okay, I had really good marks and everything in my 10th. It was really, I could make it to any sort of whichever list I wanted, you know, in terms of admissions. So I just said, okay, let me go to a law school. And there, anyway, no, nothing's to study. And I'll prepare for my JEE, and at least it'll give me a different environment than studying at home. Because otherwise, dad would like, it won't let me sleep also, because you have to, like, you know, oh, why are you not studying? Why are you not studying? You know, that kind of thing. And then, I went there and fell in love with the law. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
What
am I doing? These are things that I connect so much better than which tangent or which angle the ball fell on the floor. And then, you know, I was like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So, of course, I guess you kind of switched in the sense from what you wanted to do or what you intended to do to become a lawyer. But I'm sure as an individual, as a professional, and then even as a woman, you must have faced several challenges along the way. Yeah. And I guess we all do, you know, whatever, you know, like journey or whatever line we choose, we all have these ups and downs. So could you share some of those with us?
Yeah, there have been like tons of challenges. So I think the biggest challenge that you will face when you're being raised by a middle class household is that they really want you to do well in your career. They really do. And there's no joke about it. But deep down, really deep down, they think you should not do too well as well. Right? Because you have to focus on your family. It's a balance that these are things that they also don't know.
They don't know. Because I guess it's so deep into embedded in their psyche, they don't know.
They don't even know, right? So it's a confused state where you are like, oh, my daughter should do amazing. Oh, but if there's a family thing, then she must compromise on the career. While being told all the while that career was the most important thing. So the kid is like extremely confused at the end of the day. What are they really saying? What do they
say? Yeah.
And why is it that everything that they told me was the truth? Now they're telling me that that's not actually the truth. So I think that's like a big struggle that you face, but a struggle that these are things that you are facing because the people that you're dealing with have grown up in a manner that they've tried to come out of their barriers, but have not fully come out of their barriers. Yeah. It's more this also.
Yes.
Right? It's also. It's not about this is, or it's not about choice. It's not about choice. It's more about ye bhi karna hai aur ye bhi karna hai. Ye zyada important hai aur jo time bach jaye usme wo kar lo. Sometimes like that and sometimes not like that. So it's very confusing.
I totally get that. We've all been raised like that. That yes, do well in your academics. Yes, you have to have a career. But at the end of the day, you're also responsible for the food and the child and the husband.
Correct. So it's a very confusing thing that I think a lot of women deal with, and it's not that this was true 10 years back. It's true today, and I think it's gonna remain true for a while unless we keep challenging it. Of course, that I think is one very big challenge. Another big challenge that you will feel that I have at least felt. I mean, I'm always I think I'm a person with quite, I will share with you what I'm thinking. And I think that sometimes when people cut me out, I'll tell them, hey, can you let me finish? Or I'll tell them that don't diss what I'm saying. What I'm saying is logic. There's this whole angle of she's so aggressive. I think that angle where you pinpoint someone as aggressive is something that is not just my it's an issue as a community that I think women have when they just try to voice their opinion, very confident about their opinion, because to tell you the truth, I think women, I've seen women prepare for the same meeting and I've seen men prepare for the same meeting. I can tell you something about how women over prepare for meetings, because they are overcompensating for the fact that they're women, which I don't know why we have to, but we have to. So I think that is another challenge that I have faced. And the third Last challenge that I want to share, I mean, while there could be so many, I could go on. Last challenge that I faced is, it's very, very, it's more like I felt that whenever women display their emotions, it's like, suppose you say something and I don't like it, right? So I'll say that, hey, I think I'm hurt or whatever, something like that, right? And I think everyone, all, most people around us are very uncomfortable with display of emotions where the emotion is not anything opposite to extremely happy and extremely excited, right? I think we as human beings or species need to develop ourselves to understand that human being, the emotion ranges, there is a very high emotional ranges. There are ranges of emotions. If you're not equipped to deal with multiple emotional ranges, I think you might not be the right leader. Need to work a little harder, or maybe you need to work a little harder on your leadership skills, because dealing with range of emotions is very, very important.
That's why nowadays they place so much emphasis on emotional intelligence. That's very important, because we are human beings and we are going to feel emotions. There is no denying that. You know, when you deny it, or when you kind of, you know, look at somebody, you know, like, why are you expressing? I mean, what are you telling them? To bottle it up? Then it's going to come up.
Exactly.
So that's not the right way. You have to express. If I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm not, I'm not. Just take it. You know, that's the way it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell me, Minal, every woman, I think, is born to multitask. Maybe it is our nature, it is the way we are, you know, the chemical composition or the environmental influence, whatever you may call it. But we all end up, you know, juggling different roles, picking up different balls at different times. And of course, there is only, you know, those 24 hours in which we have to do everything. So is there any secret or any mantra that you have evolved or you have designed for yourself, which helps you, you know, switch from one role to the other?
Yes, I think there are two, three things. Number one, I don't believe in something called work-life balance. What I believe in is something called work-life integration, which means that I think that I've just, it's now this concept is so deeply ingrained in me that now it doesn't matter what is the time when I'm working, or it absolutely doesn't matter. It's just my job and I need to get it done. How I get it done should be just my problem. Absolutely. I don't want it to be this problem. Hmm. And there are days when there are so many times I feel my work needs me more. I'm there till 1, 2, 3, putting out fires in the morning. And there are days when I think that my son needs me more. So there are days that I'll just devote much more larger amount of time to him, because that's, I weighed in my head, who needs me more right now?
Yes, yes, yes.
And then that's how I work. Instead of saying, oh, I'm just gonna 9 to 5, Neil, don't even look at me, I'm working. Mm. And 5 to 7, Neil, I'm just with you, I'm not going to work. I don't do it like that anymore.
Yes.
There's someone needs me at work, really badly needs me. At 12 in the night, I am there.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe doesn't need me from 9 to 12 in the afternoon. And that's okay. And that's when I'll spend time with my son. So I think that that is a very good thing that I've self-taught myself. And I think that's very important. Second thing that I have learned is I play so many roles. Like if I don't order food, there's sometimes that there's no tomatoes in the house. So I have to I have to be a part of everything. There's a few days back, my house help told me how I needed to order poha. And I remembered that I had seen poha, a really big box of poha in the cupboard. So why is she asking me to order poha? Then I went and showed her in the cupboard that there already is such a large bag of poha. So if you order more, it'll only get rotten, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
First, finish this. So I'm just saying, this is the silliest thing that I can tell you. But I'm just saying, all of this consumes space
yes, yes.
in your head. These small, small items that are invisible. No one's going to think this is a big work that I have done.
I agree.
Just imagine a series of such smaller things. They're all consuming space and time in your head. So in such a time where you're doing so many things for so many people, etc., I have decided I cannot do it all. And so there are a few things where I have decided I am not going to do it.
Yeah.
I will not drive the car. So everyone tells me, why don't you drive? Why are you always Ubering or using a driver? Because I have decided, yes, I can, but I will just not.
Yes.
Because I free myself up to do this as well. So
yes.
I will not do it. That's it. So women cannot do it all. I cannot do it all. Why is the burden of doing it all only on women? And why is the burden of not doing it all not on men? Because women are, you know, conditioned to do it all. You want to do it all. That's the whole thing. It's coming from within. So you have to teach yourself, I don't need to do it all. So I think I have now like a few things, like my husband invests in equity. So my husband manages our investment portfolio. So while I keep an eye on where all I'm investing, I have freed myself up from deciding which is the right equity, which is the company that I should invest in. So
yeah.
If I see something where I completely disagree, I'll share. But if it is not something that I very strongly disagree, I'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Then the third thing again, I don't have to, everything is not my battle. So no. I let a lot of issues slide. If the issues, the magnitude of the issue is smaller and will not have a big impact, I can let it slide because I have bigger fires too. So these are things that it takes a lot of practice. It's much easier to say.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of
completely
get yourself into that.
See, the thing is, because like you said, we've been conditioned. I also feel, you know, that what my all is something that I will decide. It's a choice that I will make, that this is my all. And then, of course, I decide whether I have it or not. But yes, we've been conditioned that everything is your responsibility. And we kind of decide that. But yes, prioritizing, not fighting all battles, you know, looking at the larger picture, these are things I think which can help us, deal with life, because it does get tough. Like you said, the poha, I mean, I'm reminded something similar happened to me in the morning. So yeah. All right. So tell me, Meenal, when you look back at your life so far, what do you think has been your biggest success? It does not have to be professional. It could be both professional and personal. I leave it to you. What do you feel has been?
I think my biggest success has been to realize that life is not fair.
Okay.
I think the fact that I've understood this line in its totality. Throughout my life, I was many occasions used to feel extreme sense of grief or extreme sense of sadness when I would think, but I did everything right. Then why did not happen how it should have? But I worked 24 hours on this deal. Then why is it that someone's still not happy? I have gone through so many of such things where I thought I gave it my all. That if there was someone else other than me and they would have given their all, they would have gotten the result that they desired. Then how come in certain instances I didn't get everything that I desired, even though I gave it my all? I have, over the years, as I lived life, realized that, honey, you were never working for the result. You were just working because it was making you happy. So don't don't get into what is fair or not, because it was never between you and them. It was always between you and you. And so did you spend those days when you were working on that deal or on that matter or on that particular item at home? When you were doing that, were you feeling happy? If you were feeling happy, then it doesn't matter finally what is the outcome, because life is not fair. And
that's true.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's fine.
I think that's one of my very, very big, I think it's, you don't understand this. I have suffered.
Mm-hmm.
I have suffered tremendously. You don't understand this. Understanding this, understanding the fact that, oh, Meena, you can learn shuffle dance as well and work really hard. I think this is another very big success for me, because I was working. I was just working. I studied all my life. My papa said, if you study really hard, you will do really well in life. So I just dedicated my time studying all my life. But as I started working, they said, if you work really hard for the next 5 years, you'll be promoted to a senior associate. Then you'll be fine. Then I started working. When I reached senior associate, they're like, oh, if you work really hard for the next 2 years, you'll be principal associate. Then it'll be amazing. So I realized, boss, ye to khatam hi nahi ho raha hai.
Exactly.
Or in that environment tells me, just work really hard now on this, on whatever you're doing, and then later you'll be really sorted. Like, I'm like, ye to khatam hi nahi ho raha.
It doesn't work that way at all. I think it's just, I don't know. Nahi hota. I remember my...
Oh, I didn't want that way.
My younger son, when he moved to grade 8, so I told him, you know, kind of partied now till grade 7 and now grade 8 is important. And then he kind of bought whatever I was saying, that you work really hard, you get to, you know, choose the subject of your choice. And when he came into the 9th and he said, this is all crap that you're talking, it's going to get harder. It's never going to get easier, which is true. It never gets easier. And we only just have to kind of stop ourselves and, you know, get, what should I say, like, look around you and start enjoying the moment rather than waiting for something to happen 5 years or 10 years down the line, because that ain't happening.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now I think success is that if I love dancing, I'll work. Mm-hmm. But if I have fixed this 1 hour to dance, and come what may, I will dance in this 1 hour. So I think that's very big success for a person. That
I can imagine. I can totally imagine. Yeah. All right. So, of course, as human beings, we have our highs and lows, days when we are, you know, not really feeling good or motivated, inspired enough. So what do you do on such days? How do you kind of, do you take a break?
You still do it.
Okay.
So what I have really realized is, Sangeeta, that motivation is not the right thing to aspire to. What you should aspire to is commitment. Because I love working out. Working out is one of my, I feel really, really happy in that 1 hour I work out. Just think about myself, how my body is moving, how my muscles are feeling. I really feel very good. But there are some days when I wake up and I'm like, I don't feel like going to the gym today for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But when I push myself and I go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
after that 1 hour of having pushed myself, I feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
So because no one can be motivated every day. You cannot be motivated every day.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Motivation only comes in bouts. And another thing is, motivation only stays in the initial part of an activity. For example, if I want to learn the guitar, I used to learn the guitar. For the first 6 months, all he taught me were various chords, right? You're playing A chord, you're playing B chord. It's absolutely boring. You're not playing any song.
Yeah,
you're not doing anything. If you were only motivated, if you're looking for motivation, there's no motivation in playing those chords at all, because no beautiful music was coming out.
So you are committed. Yes. So if it is not the motivation, it is the commitment, the fact that I have to do it. I have committed. I have decided. You have to stick to that. So that, yes, that sense of duty, sense of purpose can get you to, you know, where you should be. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I see myself doing something for the younger lawyers. I see myself helping the older lawyers understand the younger lawyers, because I think it's always what's always happening is that the older lawyers are telling the younger lawyers how they should be. And because of that, we're seeing a very big loss in the number of really good professionals who leave the law because of the number of hours that it requires, the commitment, the very bad sleeping patterns. I remember I used to work for 26 hours out of 24 hours, not till very recently, even sometimes now I do. I feel like what's happening is that all the gyan is being passed from bottom to top, from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. When I think some exchange is required between the bottom to top. Mm-hmm. And I think that doesn't happen. And I think that's something that I do want to play a role. Another thing that I want to do is I want to be on the board of companies that are impacting our world positively, be it in the race to keep our earth intact, and livable for the next generation, be it in the area of artificial intelligence. I just started my course from Oxford in artificial intelligence a few weeks back. I think these are areas of really big impact, and I want to be on the board of companies which are on the mission to sort of impact the world in a very large and powerful manner. And smaller companies like women entrepreneurship, smaller women in entrepreneurships. There are law firms that are coming up, which are now all women law firms, right? Because if you will see, look at the partnership of any law firm in India right now, just open up any website and look at how the partners look, right? You'll find very big diversity gap, because the diversity balance is found in the lower rung. As you keep moving up, the diversity balance is completely messed up. These are areas that I think and I hope to be influencing and contributing to in the next 10 years, because I feel like once I have developed sufficient capital for myself, this is where I want to focus on. You have to set a time and a limit, because money is never enough.
Yes.
And time is very less.
Of course.
So
I think that's very important and very interesting, because I think once we as women have reached a certain level and we are in a position, if not to help in other ways, but at least to guide and mentor other women, other young girls, I think we should do it. Because somewhere as we were growing and as we were maybe just moving up the ladder, it was difficult for us to find role models as well. And you see how women who have succeeded, they serve as role models. They serve as inspirational figures. So I think somewhere we need to do that, and also not just remain figures, just not remain the role models, but be accessible, be out there to help and assist and mentor and whatever is required. Because sometimes it's not the financial part, it is this emotional part, the confidence part, which we can, give to the young girls, which I think is very important. I think that's really, really good what you're doing and what you think of doing. Okay, so of course, as we grow and mature and pick up things along the way, we learn a lot. So some of the things that you have learned, of course, you've shared a few, but specifically, if I were to ask you.
a few things that I learned is that don't just try to fit your life outside work, whatever pieces are left of it. I think otherwise, it used to be like, oh, you know, I only have this half an hour left in the whole day after I'm working. So what can I do in that half an hour? So don't just try to put your whole life in whatever is left of your time outside of work. Okay. Right. I think that's one learning. Another learning that I have is that you have to keep learning.
Of
course. You have to keep learning. And I study a lot, and that gives me a lot of joy because I think that's just how I was raised and born and conditioned. So I continue to do that. So I actually keep learning the new emerging technologies. I love technology. So I keep learning new technology. Technologies. I keep doing courses. I went to London for last 3 months last year to learn cybersecurity. Now I'm learning artificial intelligence. I learned how to data governance during COVID. These are things that are outside my work, very strictly speaking. But I really like to learn about all this, and I think this really helps you in your work, which is all hidden. You just don't know that it is helping you.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
That's very important. Third, what I've learned is do what you love. Like, I love to travel solo. And it's a big thing because it used to be a big thing because mom will be like, you have a kid and you have a husband and you're traveling solo. I mean, who does that? You do all this when you don't have kids and when you don't have a husband, etc. Right? And I would tell her, but then how will I get to ever see the place that in the way I want to see it?
Yes.
And then how will I ever get to meet new people, because I'm always talking to my husband and always talking to my son. How will I get to know how people in that country think? What's their perspective? What's their culture without interacting with them on a very deep level?
How do
I learn to make friends at this age?
Correct.
Right? So what I've learned is that there's a lot to learn from things outside of work that you do, and what you learn there, it's all hidden again, but it all showcases in some way or the other in your work. And you learn nuanced thinking, perspectives, the fact that nothing is wrong and right. You learn things that no one taught me in school, really.
Nobody can, I think, because in schools, the curriculum is so regimented. There are only certain things. And I guess even though, I mean, you know, schools, you can't blame them because they also are kind of, you know, designed to impart education in a certain way. So, yes, these are things that we have to do. This is development, you know, self-development. And you have to learn ways and means of doing this. So tell me something. You said don't try to fit your life in what is left after your work life. So if you have half an hour left. So what exactly do you mean by that? Can you elaborate?
So what I mean by that is that suppose there's a show that you want to go and watch.
Okay.
All right. And it's happening at 5 p.m. All right. Design your meetings around that time.
Okay.
If it's something that you really want to do,
yeah.
Don't say I can't do it because I'm working. Don't try to fit your life in that little part.
Okay.
Get it.
Okay.
Whatever is important to you, do that. Sometimes let also the work revolve around your life.
Yes.
Sometimes let your life revolve around work, but it cannot always be life revolving around work. Again, you need to learn how important is the day-to-day, what I'm doing today at work. Is it really important? If it is really important, you manage your life around it. If what you want to do is more important than what you were going to do at work, then you manage your work around it.
All right. Okay. So tell me something. Now, of course, we see a lot of women doing well for themselves, becoming financially, emotionally independent, making a name for themselves. How does the world react when they see such women? So it's not only at a professional level, but even at a personal level. How do people react to successful women?
They're attracted to such women. But they can't deal with such women.
I think
it's like you talk to me for 2 hours and you'll be like, wow, so impressive. Try to live with me for 2 days and you'll be like, oh my God, should I just run away? Because I can't live with her, right? So I think that's really the difference. The difference is that it always looks good when that person's outside of your arena and you're just meeting them for a coffee. Living with really confident women is something that society really needs to learn.
Yes, I agree.
Really tough. That's very tough. And I can vouch for it. Like, there's kahawat, dur ke dhol suhavne. It's kind of like.
So we can deal with your intelligence, your accomplishments in small doses. But when those accomplishments and that intelligence comes to live in my house, then I have a problem. Yes. That is true. All right. Okay, there's another thing that I have been observing, and I think I am, kind of also guilty of that, which is that a lot of people have been doing things for a greater part of their lives, any particular profession or whatever. You know, you could be a chartered accountant, you could be an educationist, a doctor. But then now we see that a lot of these people, when they reach their midlives, mid-40s, early 40s, they start experimenting with other things. You know, in the sense that somebody takes to writing, somebody takes to hiking, somebody takes to singing. There are so many other things which, as I see, are diametrically opposite to what they were doing earlier. So what do you have to say about this?
I say that they always wanted to do it.
Yes, I agree. Just
never had the courage to do it because this papa, mama, society, uncle, auntie, baju wali, Rajini auntie, sub wanted the kid to do really well at work. And the only measure of success. Yeah. So right now you ask me, what's your success? The earlier answer you can ask anyone, you could have asked 10 years back, someone would have started saying, I became the vice president of my company. That's success, right? So the only measure of success was what you accomplished at work.
Yes, I agree.
And that's something that that's changing. You talk to the younger kids right now, they already know that I don't give a shit. Like, they are wired differently. Now, what happens is you see them and you look at them from a distance and you're like, I also wanted to do all this when I was young, but I never could. But at 40, you stop caring. Giving too many hoots about anyone. It's just that our generation is taking much longer to realize that. The newer ones are born to realize that, which also can be a big problem, which I'll tackle some other day. But what's happening is that at 40-ish, you feel like, oh, I now have enough money. I actually don't care about anyone's opinion. Can I just do for once what I really want to do?
Yeah, I agree. And when you see so many others doing it, then of course you kind of get
charged. And you see younger ones doing it and you feel like, look, and me, 40 years I've been wanting to do this.
Yeah. So I agree with that. So any bits of advice to young women on the threshold of their professional and personal life, something you want to share with them, tell them?
Yeah, I can share one thing. There have been times when I have, always felt that it's getting really tough. And so should I just leave? Like out of the out of the all the women who joined with me at Khaitan, which is the law firm that I started working with, in my batch, I think only me and another woman are continue to be lawyers now. No okay. one else is a lawyer.
Hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know. But what I want to say is that when the going gets tough,
yeah,
the easiest choice is to leave it.
Yeah.
Just be like, I can't deal with this noise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the only way a change will happen is when you'll stick it out.
Yeah.
Because don't only do it for yourself. Do it because if you stick it out and if you swim in this dirt, maybe the waters will clear out for the newer lot that comes through.
Yeah.
You can only solve, you can only clean a mess by being in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Cannot clean a mess by just
leaving
hathiyar dal diye, right?
No, that
so,
is
a,
yeah.
I think that's the big problem that we as women face. You're like, when it just becomes too much because you're not saying anything. You don't say anything. You just keep your, you know, the pot just keeps filling and filling and filling. And one fine day, when it's too much, the only option that you give yourself is to leave.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you need to learn how to deal with this whole thing.
Yes.
Either don't let it get full like that.
Hmm.
Keep sharing. And even if it is full, the consequence cannot be something where you are the one who's getting out of the race.
Not the
factors that made you get out of it, that made your pot get full, right?
Hmm.
So you need to be tactful, be tactful, very tactful. That's something women need to learn, how to be tactful. Second thing that women need to learn is, oh my God, we need to get over ourselves with this whole phenomena of, I am so unique. And so let me not have more women in this circle now, because they say I'm the only woman who has been able to reach the board of directors of this company. But if I have 2-3 more, then that uniqueness will kind of go away. Then they won't say this is the only woman who is able to make it to the top. Because then you're only working for yourself. You're not working for women as a whole.
Yeah.
And so this whole unique thing about this is the only woman who was able to do this, that needs to completely eliminate, and you need to see it as a shame that I was the only woman who was able to. It is not a crown. It's something that you should be ashamed of. And hence, you need to work harder to make sure that there are more women who are able to make where you have made it to. Because I think what happens is that a lot of men take so much advantage of the bro code.
Yes.
And a lot of women are very disadvantaged by the J factor.
Yes.
And I think we need to change ourselves.
But don't you think men are also Jay? It's why do we say that only women are there? Like, you know, which is the next question, that is a woman a woman's worst enemy? Is she really the worst enemy, or is it a myth that has been, you know, created or propagated to ensure that, you know, you can divide and rule? Or is it something that we ourselves are perpetuating? What is it? Why can't? Because I feel that, you know, when it comes to a professional setting, even a man can be a man's enemy. You know, they do have professional jealousies and all of that. But nobody talks about that. But they all talk about women being a woman being a woman's worst enemy.
My experience has been very different, Samgita, in my whole career.
Hmm.
My experience has always been that women, whenever I've had leadership teams which consisted of women, I always thought that they loved being called the only woman to have reached this space. And so they didn't want to share that space with any other woman.
The queen.
So they would do anything to keep the other women at bay. And with men, of course, what you're saying happens. But I have also seen that, for example, there's a general counsel role that is open somewhere. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the chances of I couldn't get through, for example. I interviewed for it. I couldn't get through. The chances of another friend who's also looking for a general counsel role, the chances of me calling her and saying, hey, I couldn't get through, but this position is open. Do you want me to refer you? Then maybe you can try.
Mm-hmm.
Chances of me doing it as a woman are lesser than if it was another man and saying, okay, I couldn't get it. Maybe he'll get it. And maybe that way I'll have a friend in that company.
Yeah.
Some other time I'll benefit from it.
So bigger picture.
Right. So that bigger picture. So I'm not saying they're doing it because, oh my God, the heart is lovely or anything. But they're much more tactful.
Tactful. And I think
I get
bigger picture they keep in mind. And also I think as more and more women get out there and achieve, this will slowly fade away.
Dwindle. This will dwindle.
Because we are not used to seeing ourselves or any other woman. So we need more. That's all the more reason why we need more women out there. Because the more you will get used to it, and then it'll be.
Yeah. This whole issue will go away. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Have more.
Yes.
And then
you'll
realize we'll all also just, it'll all just be a thing.
Yes, no, we'll coexist. And yeah. Great. I agree with this. So finally, Meenal, again, during the course of the conversation, you've kind of answered it. But again, I would like to ask as a separate question, can a woman have it all? Now, there are various layers to this question. It's not as straight and simple as...
No one can have it all. What woman?
Okay.
No one can have it all.
Hmm.
You have to prioritize what you want, because you will never get all you want.
Yes.
You need to understand what are the top three things that I want. For that, what all I'm ready to compromise and give up. Because if you really want it all, you'll have nothing.
You will have nothing. So first of all, know what your all is. Prioritize. And then, you know, maybe over a period of time, say tomorrow when I'm 75 years old and I look back and I then say, okay, fine. I did manage to get whatever I wanted. But I think different periods of your life, different stages of your life have a different definition of all. And you decide what you want. So, yes, I feel anybody, like you said, maybe not all every time and all the time, but yes, know what I want right now.
Yeah, because just imagine you want a real joke, right? But you want a really rich husband and you want him to have a lot of time for you. I mean, like, how is he making money, man, if he has so much time for you, right? So it's like, so you're going to, your circle of choice becomes so small. So I need to find someone whose father was really rich, and hence this person has a lot of time. So he's rich plus has a lot of time. Your circle of choice,
you
can never have it all.
Yeah,
you need to understand, okay, what is more important for me? Right? And that's how you can have what is more important to you, and you need to give up what is not important to you, as important to you. And that's life.
Yeah, that's life.
That's how you get what you really, you can have what you, you can have all of what you really want, but you can't have it all.
Yes. Agreed. All right. So thank you so much, Meenal. It was very, very interesting talking to you. And, you know, it's always you get different insights. I mean, women coming from different professions, different cultures, different cities. It's always, you know, like you just get different insights. So, you know, these are the same set of questions that I ask of every woman. So whether she's 23 or she's 53 or she's 68. I mean, those have been the age groups that I have targeted. And it's interesting that while on the surface, you know, the answers may differ, but the core remains the same. Pretty much. So thank you really for being on the show, and I hope you enjoyed.
I did. Thank you so much, Sangeeta, for having me on the show. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope whoever shares their time with us and watches our video thinks that it was worth their time.
Yes, I agree. All right.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.